But delete that. Woohoo!
Oh, nothing gets deleted.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to a special episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for the Holidays 2016. In this episode, we have a special guest, Tyler from Dreadpath Zone on YouTube. He's in to discuss the GCPS faction beta list. And now on to the episode.
And welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. This is a special in-between episode, episode 63.5, and we have a special guest. With me, as always, is my bestie, my co-host, the one who keeps the train on the tracks, Rob Harper.
Oh, I thought you were going to say our guest name. Yes. Hello.
And a consummate professional. I forgot to say that. That's slick. And with us today, our special guest, Tyler Schultz.
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad. And where would we know you from?
Oh, you might know me from Dreadpath Zone, the YouTube channel and Facebook page that are all about everything in the Warpath universe, including Dead Zone and other things.
Very nice.
Unmentionable things.
Yeah, things no one should talk about.
Well, welcome aboard.
It's good to be here, finally. Place.
You can talk about anything you want, as long as Rob says so, because he kind of runs how the things work. He's the one with the itinerary. But other than that, go to town.
All right. Well, I definitely will.
This is the first official appearance of Tyler, but usually he just is in the background, sneaking into shots, and he's an ever presence on the podcast. But this is the actual first time we let him talk. That's the key.
Yeah, I feel like I've been mentioned a good handful of times, but this is definitely the first time you'll actually hear me.
That's right. You always sneak in, but we don't let you talk. So, yep, you got the Dreadpath Zone. You've been covering a lot of Warpath. You've been covering Dead Zone, obviously. A lot of battle reports and fluff. You like the covering the fluff a bit. And, yeah. Hey, what's coming up on your channel?
Well, biggest and most important news is that Tim, my cohort, is coming back from Japan, his semester abroad, and we will be firing out a ton of bat reps soon. There's so many games I want to play at this point, I don't even know what's going to happen. So, yeah, expect some Dead Zone, some Warpath. If I get over my laziness, I'll go back to my how-to-play Warpath videos. But a whole lot's going to happen really soon here, especially with school finally slowing down. And, I'm graduating, so school being over with, and now I can focus on my, you know, career and mostly Dead Zone.
Oh, a high school graduate. Well, la di da, Mr. Fancy Pat, with your books and your learning.
You know, actually, last time we made a joke about how young I am, people actually thought I was, because I said I was like 13, and people were like, wait, really? And no, I'm graduating college for anyone who doesn't know. So.
I think everyone knows.
Now
you'd be surprised.
I assumed you were 12. I thought you were lying about your 13-year-old age. I thought you were trying to seem older than you actually were.
I was at the time.
Yes, you're official. You're old enough to drink. That's the key.
Yeah, in Canada and America.
Well, Canada's easy, but states is important, especially since Adepticon's coming up. So there's going to be some fun times there.
Are you suggesting that there are alcoholic beverages consumed at Adepticon?
There will be. Actually, yeah, last time we went, we didn't actually drink that much, but this time I think it's going to be a more party atmosphere due to the people getting involved. So it should be a fun time. We get some Dead Zone in, we get some drinks in. It's a good recipe for excitement.
Faux show.
But we should get to the actual subject matter of this episode. And the thing that we wanted to talk to you about, because you're our official somewhat expert, is the GCPS beta list for the Dead Zone. The Rules Committee put out a beta list, and we've only perused it, but you've actually played it, is that correct?
That is correct. I've played two games, and I've definitely looked at it a lot. So, yes, I can speak on it for what I've played.
Yeah, so that's good. We'll get some in-depth information about this list. We have some ideas, so we'd like to bounce them off you. And I know you've got some ideas about how to improve the list. So we'll get right into that. Does that sound good?
That sounds wonderful.
And, yeah, we'll also get right into the leaders of this GCPS. And the first leader is Corporation Major General, 33 points, 3 VPs. He's got, most of them have, he's got the best shoot, I think, of the whole army. He's got a 4-plus shoot. The rest have pretty much 5-plus. He's got 5 fight, 5 survive, 1 armor, size 1, obviously, move 1 to 2, tactician 2, recon 5-plus. That's not very good, but I think that's the best recon leadership in the army, too, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd believe so.
Yeah, so their recon's not great with the GCPS.
No, but very average. That's kind of a theme for their whole army. Very average.
Well, that makes sense. They should be pretty average. The GCPS, everybody always, the rules committee always talk about the enforcers being the middle ground, but I think GCPS makes much more sense to be in the middle ground. And this leader, his splat is the drone strike. And that's pretty cool because it's range 8, indirect 2 attack. Indirect 2 is pretty wimpy, but still pretty fun.
Yeah, actually, I talked to Arthur about this, the guy who basically is in charge of the whole beta. And what he told me is, I thought that the 2 was a little bit too weak. But the goal of this is basically not to actually kill the things you're shooting at, but it's really to pin and kind of just throw off the enemy. And I think it really does achieve that. So I think it's good.
Yeah, because it automatically pins everybody it hits, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool. Indirect is interesting that way. Yeah, you have to get really lucky to kill people with an indirect too, but yep, that's pretty good. Range 8 too, so pretty much you can hit everything on the board if you're only playing one mat.
Yeah.
And we'll just go through each leader, and then you can let us know which one you actually used. Does that sound good?
Sure. Yeah.
Jack, are you looking at the sheet here?
You told me we were doing a Mars Attacks fan list, so I'm not prepared. I'm in the weeds here. Like I don't know. I've the Gotham Police Department. I don't understand what we were talking about at all.
Yeah, GCPD, as a lot of people call it.
Oh, to answer your question, yes, I am looking at the list as we speak.
Cool. Do you want to go over the Corporation Sergeant then?
Well, yes, Rob, I am following along at home with my adequately sized home, in which it's clearly the best case scenario to have me read this. So let me just get right to it. The Corporation Sergeant, shoot 5, fight 5, survive 4, armor 1, size 1, move 1-2, tactician 1. Comes with the energy gauntlet and a pistol. Recon 6+.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, don't expect to win too much with that guy.
Like 5+, you go, well, that's like one more than most other factions. You know, one. But now we're 6+ is now starting to really drift. Starting to really get off kilter.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody worse than that. I think 6+ is the highest. I don't
or
think
lowest,
anybody has a 7+.
Depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, yeah. Highest number, lowest ability.
Yeah, I think the original Starship Enterprise captain,
in his chair.
Yeah, he would blink twice to say my recon's better. So his splat, command dice is Overwatch. Spend a army special result when an enemy model moves into a cube containing an unactivated friendly model equipped with a weapon with rapid fire ability. Okay, that's a mouthful. Have to take that apart, parse through there, get the meaning. The friendly model may make a free shoot action after the enemy model has moved, but prior to resolving the fight action that's been initiated by the enemy's move action. So basically we're looking at old version 1 Overwatch, but just
sort
kind of. Yeah, defined slightly different. This can be played on a friendly model that is in the same cube as an enemy model, which makes sense. They're already fighting. You can't be overwatching while someone's punching you in the giblets. And blah, 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 blah. Free shoot action cannot be used to fire for effect.
But it's wimpier than the old Overwatch because you can only use it when they're coming in to fight you. So you're just shooting point blank as they run in at you.
That's true. But it also lets you do it automatically. You don't have to roll an Overwatch test or anything like you used to.
That's right.
So it's
plus you're probably going to, and you're going to get probably a clear shot on them since they're going to be right in front of you.
Actually, you're not because this shoot action can't be modified for clear shot high ground or any of the other stuff. So
Yeah.
Actually, I talked to Arthur about that one because I actually had this beta list before that little clause was in there, and I thought that's way too powerful.
The one I have doesn't say that. So yeah.
Well, the one that can be found on the Mantic blog, which I highly suggest that all the listeners go do, it does say that you can't do clear shot or any of that stuff. And it's basically just to make sure it's not overpowered.
Well, yeah, you pretty much kill anybody running in on you.
Well, and nobody would ever run in on you. Because they would just get clear shotted. So I think it's pretty balanced actually.
Yeah, that's not too bad. That's good that they said that. That makes it a little bit better. But I love how it's anybody with rapid fire, but pretty much everybody in this army starts with rapid fire. So unless you switch out a weapon, it's any of your guys. I don't know why they put that clause in there. I guess they just, maybe because certain weapons you could, with sniper rifle or something, I guess. You don't want them just blasting somebody.
Yeah, with a weapon that's heavy or something that kind of just bends the rules too much to the breaking point.
Although it does say you can use a hollow sight or a sniper scope, but I still think you have to have the rapid fire ability, so you'd have to pay for it. Or I think that's how that works.
Yeah. So is there? Let me look at their sniper rifle. It doesn't have rapid fire, I don't think.
No, I doubt they are.
Rapid fire sniper rifle.
That'd be pretty crazy.
Somebody does. I think one of it's not a sniper rifle, but I think the Veerman's one that's just like a sniper rifle has rapid fire.
Remember in version one where the sniper used to be able to use the sniper ability on with his pistol?
Yeah, glad that changed that.
Remember that?
Yeah, I never agreed with that.
No,
we didn't either. That was horseshit.
Great, now I gotta edit it.
Someone get Georgie in here.
That was a pretty good impression.
That was a good Georgie.
Thank you.
So, Tyler, you can read the last one. Major Lauren Shard.
Oh, I'd love to. So, the last leader is Major Lauren Shard, the special character-ish for the GCPS. She has a shoot of 4 up, a fight of 5, survive of 5, armor 1, size 1, move 1 to 2, and tactician 1. She has a recon of 5 up, and she has a weight of fire gun. With rapid fire as well. Now, she has a great, great army special, which gives weight of fire 3 to any model for the rest of the round, and you can do that before you shoot. And if the model already has weight of fire, then you use the highest one, which basically no one has higher than a weight of fire 3. So if she's
and you wouldn't give that splat to somebody who had it anyway, so.
Yeah, usually not. So, she's 30 points and 3 VPs, if I didn't say that already.
Hmm. So, which leader did you use in your lists?
So, I have used Lauren Shard, and I've used the Sergeant. So, I've used the Way to Fire Lady and the Overwatch guy. So,
cool. And which one did you find you liked the best?
I definitely found that I like Lauren Shard a lot, because that ability is fantastic, especially when your basically entire army is rolling on 5 ups, and then you get to re-roll up to 3 of them. It is crazy good. And since splats don't happen all that often, when it does happen, this one really feels like it's really effective.
Yeah, it's cool.
The Overwatch one, I was playing Enforcers when I used that guy, so it didn't come into play a whole lot. Yeah, it came into play once actually with an Assault Enforcer, but I didn't kill him. And then he came into my square and he didn't kill me because he's an Assault Enforcer. So
that's right. They're hitting you with rubber weapons. So
yeah. Or actually, I think they have really good weapons. It's AP1, but they just can't hit anything because they're terrible at fighting. They have little noodle arms and really great weapons attached to them.
Noodle arms.
And those helmets must obscure their vision or something. So
yeah, they can't see what they're hitting. They're like, what?
So it's like a Muppet with just wildly flailing arms and googly eyes, just like, ah! Exactly.
So yeah, I've tried the two. Obviously, having the sergeant only be 22 points is nice because you can afford more guys, and that obviously opens up a lot of good things. That's like a whole Marine if you want him. So between the sergeant and Shard, and the Major General, actually, they're so yeah. The cheapest one is the sergeant, who is only 22 points, and he's definitely pretty good. He's perfectly functional.
Yeah. Although he does have that 6+ recon, but it's not like they have any better. The 5+ doesn't help that much. Tactician.
Now, basically, the trick with the recon is basically you just can't lose by too much. You can't. That's really, you're not going to win, so you better hope you don't lose by a whole lot.
Yeah, you're just hoping to mediate the damage.
Yeah, it's basically just, you know, you're not going to win. But at worst, hopefully they get to move two guys up on you rather than like a whole, take a whole bath. We've had that. It was a Veerman game, I think. Oh, it's so lopsided, and it's like you just keep rolling on that chart. It's like Christmas. You don't want that.
Yeah, that's what you're trying to prevent, but you're not very good at preventing it.
No.
Not at 6+.
6+ is tough. Unless you're using Tyler's dice, of course.
You know, I have video evidence of my dice letting me down a whole lot, too, so.
You just remember the times that you roll ridiculous?
Yeah, and I'm not the only one who rolls ridiculously, so. Most of my opponents usually roll pretty ridiculously at the same time that I roll ridiculously.
Are they using the same dice as you?
No, never. I'm always the colored dice, and they're always the white dice, so.
Yeah.
Who knows?
We do find that, too, where it's just like, all of a sudden, one person will just start rolling eights, and you're like, what the hell? Why today? But yeah, we'll move on to the troops. We'll look at all the troops here. Their selection. They do have three different troopers. And the first one's the Corporation Recruit. Nice and cheap. Only 6 points. 1 VP. This is why it's cheap though. It's 6+ shoot, 7+ fight, 5+ survive, no armor, size 1, move 1-2, no abilities. Comes with a laser rifle, which is range 6, rapid fire. And that's about it. He's just a cheap, he's like the cheapest troop tax that they can just throw up there. Not great, but you're 1 VP and 6 points, you're not expecting much from those guys. And that's pretty much all to say about those ones, really. They suck.
Yeah, well, that's pretty accurate. When building your lists, you look at that, and then you just, there's really no place for it, because it's still a victory point, and they're easy to kill, and they're just a waste of points, honestly, unless you're only using them for troop tax, in which case I guess it might work, but I still don't fully support that.
Yeah, there's not much real point, when especially for two points more you can get the next guy. Jack, do you want to explain the Corporation Marine?
I would love to. The Corporation Marine, 8 points and 1 VP, shoot 5, pretty standard, fight 6, survive 5, 0 armor, size 1, move 1-2. They come stock with the laser rifle, which is range 6, rapid fire. Again, rapid fire. And that is that's them. Kind of standard troop.
Pretty much for 2 points, you're getting a better shoot and a better fight.
And they're totally worth it. I mean, two points makes a complete difference. I mean, between rolling on 6s and 5s. So,
yeah,
if you're debating if you should bring Marines or recruits, bring Marines because they can actually do something.
Yeah, it's important to get a guy that is actually useful.
But now let's talk about the creme de la creme of the troops, the Corporation Veterans. So they are 11 points and 1 victory point. They shoot on a 5. They fight on a 5. They survive on a 5. They have no armor. They are size 1 and they move 1-2. But here's the kicker. They have a laser carbine, which is a range 6 rapid fire, weight of fire 1 weapon. And I love these guys. They are so fun.
Wow. For 11 points.
Yeah, I think they are up there with some of the best troops, because they're very, across the board, pretty good at what they do, but that weight of fire puts them over the edge. I think they're really, really fun.
I do love weight of fire. That's one of the best things. Getting to reroll a miss is always nice.
Yeah, and when you're rolling on a 5-up, you can basically assume that half of your dice are going to miss. So getting to reroll it again, it's big.
Yep. So out of all those, that's the guy you'd pick for the extra. Well, it's almost double the points of the recruit, but you think it's worth it?
I do. What I did in my games, and it seemed to work pretty well, is I brought a couple Marines and a couple veterans. I think a good blend of them is good, just because 11 points does rack up fairly quickly if you bring a ton of them. But a good mix worked out pretty well for me. So I like those two troops, and I don't really see much place for the recruit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the recruits are slick. It may be cheap, but it's pretty useless. So that's pretty much all the troopers. The cheap troopers, it's always nice to get cheap troopers in an army. But, yeah, we'll move on to the specialists, I guess. And it's funny how they list these ones, because the best one, I think, is first. So, and that is the Ranger. 16 points, 2 VPs, shoot 5, fight 5, survive 4, size 1, move 1, 2, and they have that super ability, aerial deployment. And they come with a laser rifle, but you're probably going to replace that with something like a rocket launcher or a missile launcher, I should say, or a sniper rifle or something, because you can get these guys with aerial deployment anywhere on the board. That's pretty nice off the, like you said though, about aerial deployment, you think it's a little too powerful, Tyler?
I think it needs to be playtested a lot. So aerial deployment, basically after you guys set up and you do your recon moves, these guys can drop in anywhere on the field before anyone starts moving. And then that's where they start the game from. And this has a little bit of a back and forth, honestly, because on the one hand, you can get a really great vantage point that can, you know, kill the enemy in the deployment zone. And that's where it could be abused, is if you brought a ton of these guys and you can just wipe out the enemy before they really have a chance. That's the downside. I guess that's the upside.
Upside, yeah, if you're using those guys.
But the downside of that is if they do survive, your guys are usually in a terribly vulnerable spot.
Yeah, you're probably going to be killed. That's happened to me.
I haven't brought a whole lot. I brought, I think, 3 in one game and then 2 in another. And it's kind of tricky to get a good start, because usually what happens is you put a guy there and then he pops one guy in the deployment zone, and then the whole deployment zone turns their heads and then lights up the whole cube and the guys no more. So
you're trading them, eh? You have to shoot high value targets because you're trading these guys for whatever you're shooting at.
Right, exactly. So yeah, if you take out a enforcer specialist, great, but your guy's probably not going to survive the next round.
You're going to try to shoot the leaders or shoot someone like that with these guys.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it needs to be play tested. I'd like to play a list where you just bring a whole ton of these guys and just really see if you can break it.
Oh
yeah, they're so cheap too.
I would spam the hell out of these things.
Yeah, I think
my deployment, they'd look over and go, okay, there's a leader, where's the rest of your guys? You'll see.
Right. And I think that's where there might need to be a tweak if that's too overpowered, which I could easily see it being too overpowered, especially if you had a few like shoot dice on the first round, because you could really just pump away shots from really great vantage points. But I think they're really good otherwise. They have the 5-up shoot and the 5-up fight, but the kicker here is that they have the 4-up survive, and basically no one else in this entire list has a 4-up survive.
Yeah, they're
so
one of the best.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, I think we checked it out with a sniper rifle, it's like 24 points or something like that. So you just drop 24 points guys that can be within range first round. That's with a sniper rifle. You take the high ground, you're just shooting down, hopefully getting some clear shots. You're going to be deleting people. Like you say, you're trading them. They're probably going to die, but that's pretty powerful.
And I think you can also give them like grenade launchers and things, which can really be bad for deployment zones, because you can hit multiple targets. So I think one possible solution, if this ends up being too broken, which it probably will be, is if they can deploy, but they come in on the second round. That way the deployment zones have a chance to kind of spread out, and then you can start shooting at guys, but then you'll still be vulnerable. So it'll be a good balance, I think.
But really, now that indirect fire can happen first round, it's not that much different than having a pulse bombard or a mortar or something that's lethal to the deployment zones right off the hop. It's not that different.
No, that's a good point.
Horrible. Yeah.
Actually, I don't think they can take grenade launchers now that I'm looking at it.
I thought they could take missile launchers or something like that, or something good.
Anti-tank marksman sniper for weapon options.
Yeah, anti-tank. Isn't that something really good with anti-tank?
I don't think so.
A light anti-tank because thermal rifle. Yeah.
Yeah, because the grenade launcher is a light explosive, and they don't have explosives, so
yeah.
So maybe it's not too bad.
It's a just sniper, the sniper.
Yeah, sniper might be a little bit much.
Well, at least you're only hitting one guy, at least.
They've got the thermal rifle, which is AP2, that would fall into the category.
Right, but it's range. Only range 3, so you'd have to really three, put them.
And don't they have to be with 3 away? What is that rule again? The aerial deployment. Well, let me read that again. We never read the aerial deployment rule, actually, but it's model may choose to be an aerial deployment. If it does so, do not deploy it with the rest of your strike team. Once both players have deployed their teams, but before scout redeployments, a model using aerial deployment may be deployed in any cube, provided it is no closer than 2 cubes away. So yeah, even the thermal rifle would be in range, and you have to deploy on the top level, which is great because you get the high ground.
Right, and because these are basically the paratrooper awesome guides, so.
Yeah, it's a cool ability, but I think you're right. I think it should be on the second turn that they come in. Cause that first turn I also don't think you should be able to nuke the, deployment zones with indirect first turn either. So,
right.
But I like the old way where you had to wait one turn to set up kind of thing.
That can't, yeah, I think that makes sense. Bag.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to go back, I guess, once you said something.
But yeah, in my game, these Rangers, because I didn't really kit them out with too much in terms of points because they were already fairly expensive. But I would basically put them down there, and then when Lauren Shard would get her special, she could give them way to fire 3, and then they were really great because they'd be up levels and then they could just hammer down. I think it's important to note that I didn't actually win either of those games with these lists. They were very, very extremely close, but I didn't actually win. I played Forge Fathers and I played Enforcers.
Well, both well, armored who won targets. The games? Who was the one of these games? We don't talk to him. When you're at a restaurant, you don't say, "Hey, give me the lobster that lost his claw." You want the whole shebang.
Yeah, but he wasn't playing the GCPS, so. But that's So yeah, the Ranger, good model there. And the next is the Marine Specialist. Jack, you want to just go over this guy? He's pretty standard, but might as well say what he is.
Might as well say what he is. Okay, or I will take a look at this Marine Specialist. I suspect he works on sick whales.
No.
At least specialist. He's special. At least he's good at it.
Yeah. Okay, so the Marine Specialist, shoot 5, fight 6, survive 5, 0 armor. I'm seeing a theme here with the armor.
Yeah. Yeah. Only the leaders have armor, it looks like, and the Strider, obviously. But
Size 1, move 1, 2. For 8 points for a specialist, that's pretty cheap for a specialist.
But then you got to kit him out.
Yeah, but still, you're coming with the laser rifle, range 6, with rapid fire. That's not bad for 8 points.
Well, it's actually the exact same. Yeah, it's the exact same as the Marine, but he can take a whole bunch of options.
Right. But you've paid the troop tax for this guy, which you do have to factor in. You had to pick someone else for this guy, be it a recruit if need be. But and that's where this guy has his charm, because he's got the small arms, light assault, explosive, marksman. So you can kind of play around with whatever your play style is.
Yeah, like that's the specialists in every army. It's just add whatever weapon, right?
Yeah, typically.
Yeah, but again, for 8 points.
Well, yeah, but then the weapon probably costs another 4 or 5, imagining which weapon you get.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking, when was the last time you made an enforcer list?
Well, I think the enforcer special is the same as the same price as the regular guy, which sucks. But
Eight's kind of a deal. I'm sticking to my guns in that one. 8's a pretty decent.
Cost. What's the grenade launcher cost to throw a grenade launcher in this guy?
8 points.
Yeah, so for 16 points, you get a guy with a grenade launcher. That's not horrible.
Not horrible at all.
I can't wait to talk about weapons, but I'll just tease it for now.
And next, we'll talk about the most useless guy in any army, I think, personally. Tyler, do you want to talk about the Corporation Medic?
Sure, I'll touch on it briefly. The Corporation Medic is 13 points and 1 victory point. He is a shoot of 5 up, a survive of, or, ah, shoot of 5, fight of 6, survive of 5, armor 0, as per usual. He is size 1, he moves 1 to 2, and obviously he's a medic. He also carries a laser rifle, and he can take small arms, which you wouldn't, so don't worry about it. I didn't try out a medic, but I did consider it, because this is one of the very few scenarios where, or basically the only army where I could actually see a medic being useful. And that's because this, as we'll get into, you can have heavy weapon squads, and they can take some serious damage, and once they do, they can lose effectiveness pretty quickly. And if you can actually, you know, if you can give them the help they need when they get injured, they actually might be worthwhile. I don't know. I haven't played the medic yet, but I am considering it.
I just find he's a little expensive just to be a guy who helps out the weapons team, right? Like, he should be only 8 points or something. 13 points is a lot of points.
Yeah, in addition to being a specialist, you know, I think, because you're basically paying for, A, the specialist slot in your army, but you're also paying 13 points, which is pretty hefty. And that's why I never brought him, because he's a little bit expensive. So maybe if they drop the cost on him, I might consider it more.
Yeah. And the next guy is very similar. He's the Corporation Engineer. He's 13 points, 1 VP, 5, 6, 5, 0 armor. As always, the 1, 2, size 1, 1, 2, but he's got the Engineer. And these guys, the Engineer is actually kind of useful, because they have that new ability, or that new item. What is it, tripwire?
Yeah, it's a trip mine.
Yeah, which I don't, the trip mine doesn't make sense to me, because you can set it off. Shouldn't it be just whoever steps into that square sets it off, since it's tripwire? It should be remote detonated then. But we'll talk about that later. Once again, engineers, I'm not a big fan of engineers. The Enforcer Engineer I've never used, so I find that, once again, you're paying a lot for a guy.
Yeah, I don't use Brocker Engineers either.
No.
They're kind of expensive, and they don't have a whole ton of use.
Yeah, exactly. You're using them for one item, for one reason. It used to be that they were immune to the, what's it called? The,
booby traps.
Booby traps, yeah. But now, is there even booby traps in the game anymore?
Well, there's the one item that's booby trapped, but it's like one out of the 16 counters, so you might not even have it when you play.
Yeah.
And, yeah, next, last and, not least, obviously, because, you know, the medic kind of stinks, but the heavy weapons squad, 12 points, 1 VP, shoot 5, fight 6, survive 5, armor 0, size 3. That makes a difference. Move 1, 2, which I've seen the model. I'm still moving regular.
Yeah, it seems weird.
Bipedal pace and carrying something that's the size of like a person. They're pretty
strong
beefy fellows. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, they probably should have a one wound move since they are so big.
Yeah, but they also can't shoot if they move, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah, but the poor.
Although getting him into position, yeah, I guess, yeah, 1-1 would make more sense.
Especially when you get the things like the stage 1, who's only 1-1, you know.
Oh,
those guys only move that slow.
Before we get too far into it, I just looked up the engineer ability, and they are immune to booby traps. So before people start commenting about that.
But it is the
rolling their eyes home.
The only booby trap is that one item, though, right? It's not like before when you had that card, which you could get played a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. I honestly think that engineers should work just like medics for vehicles.
Yeah, that would make sense. That'd be cool.
That would be pretty cool, because then your strider would be way more survivable. Not that it really needs it, but you know, it'd be cool.
I kind of like the fact that you would have like drones being piloted, little vehicles being piloted. Like I would have to say you need to say maybe if you had one guy and a couple like bomb bots running around or something like that. Having a 1-to-1 ratio of say like the little dwarf cannon thing or something. It's not, especially not for 200 points armies. You don't have the extra cash to just throw at something like that. Maybe.
Yeah, their combat effectiveness just doesn't stack up to the points. So I don't know. Anyways, back to the heavy weapons team. I didn't mean to throw off the conversation.
Yeah. Did you use the heavy weapons team when you played?
I did. Between the two games, I've brought in the I don't think that's a word, but I used the autocannon, the missile launcher, and the mortar. So I decently versed in these guys.
You gotta love mortars.
They look fun.
Yeah, they are pretty cool. I like the way they work. They're a little bit. I think they are more intuitive, honestly, than the other crew-served weapons, like the plague mortar and things like that. I think this actually makes more sense. I think it's more fun to use. And the reason they did the way this works with the size 3, but then, like, the reason they're size 3 and not two separate models is just because that's how their models are made.
Yeah, I like that better.
Yeah, I think it should work like that for all of them, because, like, having a separate loader is just really lame.
Yeah, I agree. I think the teams used to be kind of like that in the first version, where they were kind of more one item. But now they have the loader who you can buy separately. And this, I think, works so much better. They should have done this right from the start. Just make them size 3 and put them on a single base.
Yeah, I think it works pretty well. And they're pretty fun to use, too.
Yeah. Anytime you get big guns firing, that can take a few, but if they lose a guy, don't they lose their
yeah, I think so.
They lose that loader ability kind of thing.
Check. Yeah, when models with this rule are injured, weapons they are equipped with are considered to have the slow reload.
Yeah. And that's what you're saying, get the medic in there to bring them back so it's quick again.
And I think it makes sense for all the weapons except for the autocannon. I know the autocannon you have to set up, but then I feel like once it's set up, you should be able to rock that thing for a while.
Well, maybe just go through bullets that fast that you have to reload all the time.
I guess.
Yeah. But
it's not belt fed. It's like it's got an M1 the clip that pops at the top, ping, and then you
have to reload. Right.
Well, I like the fact that the heavy crew, the crew serve weapons, it has variety, which is a nice plus. Depending on what you want to play, it's sort of like a hard point on a vehicle that you can tinker around with. I like that. It's a flavor that I think I like the models too, but it's a flavor that I think the corporation, a lot of people will really get a kick out of.
Well, and it's some durability too. Having size 3 makes your guys actually stick around for a little bit, which is pretty important in this list because basically no one else can stick around. So it's good. I really do think they're a lot of fun to use. I recommend you at least try them out. If you're skeptical, just try them because they're fun. It also depends on the map you're using too, because some of these require some pretty good line of sights. And since they're so slow and bulky, if you have a really, really dense board with, no firing lanes, you're not going to like these guys at all.
Or you just take the indirect one more. Hope to get some overhead shots at least.
Yeah, exactly.
And lastly, Tyler, you want to talk about the only vehicle on the list?
Oh, sure. It's everybody's favorite neighborhood corporation strider. 30 points, 3 victory points. It's got a shoot of 5, fight of 5, survive of 4, armor 3, size 4, move 1 to 2. It's a vehicle, and it can take 2 hard points, just like everything else.
Yeah, they're pretty much
like every other strider.
Average strider, yeah.
Yeah, no harm in that, though. Like, that's...
Nope, there's a place for it.
Yeah. I like that.
Do you think they're missing? Should they have a mule vehicle or some other, like a bike or something, other than just the strider?
I don't think it's necessary, but it would be kind of cool, I guess. I don't know exactly how big the mule model is, so I can't really speak on if it should be in there or not. But
yeah, it's hard to see if it'll. I don't think it'll fit in one square. I believe it is bigger than 3x3, but.
Yeah, from the looks of it, it looks a little bit too long, and it wouldn't quite fit. And I don't know why you'd put all your troops in there in dead zone, because it's such a small board. I don't know why you'd have to pile 10 guys into the back of a truck to move them up 2 cubes.
Unless you get, it has a gun on top, I think. Maybe you can use it as a weapon platform.
Yeah, kind of like a warthog in Halo.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Then I could see a little bit of use, but I don't think that they need other vehicles or anything I think this list is actually super, super fun. So,
well, it's good to have the GCPS in the game at the very least anyways.
Yeah.
Vehicles are always like the second wave of a faction anyways deal. They always come like after they've already nailed down the basics, and then that's when you start getting your speeder bikes and your mono wheels and your, you know.
I'd like to see like a, you know, remember that G.I. Joe bike? It had the sidecar with a Gatling gun on it? I'd love to see that with these guys.
Sidecars? Yeah, that'd be just unique to their
motorcycle faction. It'd be cool.
With the goggles and the, yeah.
We'll go over the, we already talked about the new abilities since it was the aerial deployment and weapons teams, but we can go over the new weapons. And the first one is a heavy burst laser. You actually modeled your Strider with one of these, right, Tyler?
I did, yes. I took the heavy burst laser from the fortified battle zones scenery, and it looks perfect on the guy. So just with some beautiful hot water method, if you can make your own if you have this piece. If not, I think they're starting to sell these guys, so get your hands on it, because they're pretty cool.
Yeah. Have you used the heavy burst laser? Have you used the Strider with these guys?
In Dead Zone?
Yeah.
I have not, actually. No. Now I think You've about used it. It. I only Warpath, used it in... Or? Yeah, I used it in Firefight, I believe.
Mm. So yeah, this is just the heavy burst laser is just a bigger version of the burst laser, which is kind of cool. And it's just got Weight of Fire 2 and Suppression, Range 10. So it's kind of fun. It does count as two hard points because he's holding it in two hands, but yeah.
What I really like about this is that the Weight of Fire 2 kind of differentiates itself from the other guns that are like, you know, that are similar to it, like heavy machine guns and whatnot. And I think that having Weight of Fire 2 actually really helps these guys out. And so I think they're super effective for the Plague and Rebs and GCPS because they don't have a very good shoot. But for Enforcers, I don't think it's worth your time.
You might as well use the Genling, the regular one.
Yeah, because you're hitting on such good... And you can always just take a guy with a burst laser for those, and I think it's fine. But like, since they get to reroll two dice, having a worse shoot actually makes them better in terms of points efficiency.
Yeah. And new items, there's something called a comm link, which it's another way to do spotter, because they already have... with the new list, in what was it, Nexus Eye? Yeah, the that one new drone for recon has a spotter ability, but this was a different type of spotter ability. But I think it does pretty much the same thing. It just creates anybody in the spotter's line of sight. You can it counts as being direct for things like grenades and indirect. It seems like they took out spotter and now they're putting it back in many different ways. I don't know why they just didn't use the spotter ability from version 1.
I'm starting to take it personal because they took out spotter and then they added rangefinder. And I said, well, that's you've taken a shorter word and made it two words. And there's no you've made a lateral move. Yeah, you just stepped sideways. You haven't changed nothing. But now they're starting to add more and more like. Is this just because they've got a thesaurus and they need to flex their word muscles? You had spotter. Just leave spotter. Spotter was a fantastic, simple way to say that catch someone all, has line of sight.
Yeah. It's annoying when they do that, but what you going to do? It's a pretty cool ability, though. Did you add comlink?
A lot of models beg to have that ability.
Especially with the synergy you can get with the comlink and some rangers. With some heavy weapons teams is really cool because you can have guys drop in that could normally not be seen, and then you could see them from ranger sites, and then you can drop bombs on them, which is pretty neat.
And it just changes the mechanic that you're using for rolling the dice rather than firing indirect. Once you can fire direct, now it changes your chance to hit. Which I know there's a lot when you're shooting the indirect. And you get the chance to shoot direct, and then you re-roll the shoot dice. It just seems more fun to me.
More funner.
Mathematically, I'm sure it works out better, but I just like shooting it direct.
Yeah. And the other new item is that trip mine, which once again shouldn't be a trip mine. It should be a remote detonated mine, since It's packed or deployed from a engineer, just like sentry guns. But you put a token in the square, and anytime somebody comes into that square, you can owning player may choose to detonate the trip mine. Well, really, trip mines aren't chosen to be detonated. You trip it, and it blows up. But it's a frag too. Once again, you're probably just going to knock people down with it.
Frag three, actually. They revised it.
Oh, they changed
it.
That? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had the same complaint because I saw what you're reading right now that said frag two, and I thought it was completely worthless. Yeah. But now that it's frag three, it has a chance of killing something.
And it says it ends the model's activation, which is kind of cool too.
Yeah.
So that's it's neat, but once again, it should be a trip mine because it should just automatically go off then if it's a trip mine.
Yeah, it's all right. My only issue with it is that cubes are usually pretty easy to avoid if you don't want to go into them, and it's not like you can keep it secret. So
you have to get your engineer up there to deploy it too. So
yeah, it seems so situational to me. I don't really see it. But if someone can make it work, I don't know. I think it'd be pretty neat in terms of what's happening, story wise. But I don't know. I didn't see it.
I just wish the other things like the thermal mines and stuff work the same way, because they, once again,
yeah,
they're mines.
Exactly.
They should be not just a, as it is now, it's just a range, like, what is it?
It's just a range fight weapon. They're just like satchel charges that you slap on a vehicle.
But they don't even do frag or anything, right? They're just, you hit them with it.
Nope, they're just AP somethings. It's kind of goofy. I think they should make all the mines work like this.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. And then the weapons, you wanted to, we're not going to go over every single weapon, but there's any of them you want to hit on there, Tyler?
Oh, I'd love to. Yes.
Sure.
So this right here is the reason why they are some of my favorite, or this is one of my favorite factions, simply because of this weapon list. It is so much fun because there are so many things you can pick and they all do their own little thing. So basically where this list really gets interesting is, because you've heard us talk about all the guys in this list, and they're all very average to all right. None of them are really standouts. But when you start giving them a whole lot of weapon options, they become a lot of fun. So some of my favorites, like I said with the veterans, their laser carbine with the way to fire one is very helpful. So that's a good one. But they also have like a similar weapon called the Accutech LR-45 DMR. Which is a holosight attached to the weapon. So it already has holosight, which means that guy's rolling four dice instead of three dice every time he shoots. And that one's pretty great.
It's like a cheaper version of the sniper rifle. You're only getting plus one, but it's 4 points cheaper. So,
right.
Yeah.
So it's like a discount sniper, and it doesn't slow him down. They do have
snipers. Yeah, he's not heavy, too. Yeah,
they have snipers as well. They have a heavy rifle that's an AP1 weapon, but that slows him down because it makes him heavy. And then they also have one that has a sniper scope instead of the holosight, but that also makes them heavy, I believe.
Yeah, I would give up one plus one dice to get not heavy. It's a pretty good trade-off, I think.
Yeah, or the AP1, but you're also heavy. I used that guy once, and I used quite a few holosight guys because they're fun, and there's no cap on how many you can bring, so that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's not like items where
I kind of waffle back and forth what's more effective, shooting four dice right away or having the way to fire one. It's kind of the same, but
yeah, I'm sure there's a mathematician out there who can tell us exactly the percentage of both, but we've always wondered that too. Like, what is better, to reroll the dice or?
Yeah, exactly. I always felt like the way to fire one just led to more awesome moments where you just start rolling, you just need that one more and you get to roll it and it's way more satisfying than rolling it right away. But I don't know.
But I like having extra dice and having way to fire way better than having AP. I think it's better to have, maybe it's just because I once again, you get those awesome moments the more dice you roll. But sure, you get AP1, you knock down an arm, but if you're rolling four or five dice or getting rerolls, I find it's a lot more effective, especially it's more useful because not everybody has armor.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And the holosight on Rangers is really good because they get to start off on top. So they're basically mm-hmm. snipers at that point.
Yeah,
for 8 points.
Three extra dice for, would it be? That'd be the 24 points, I think. That was what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And then, I like the fact that the crew service weapons, there's so many choices for them. They have four different choices. That's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I forgot about the laser cannon. I have used all four of them. I brought two in one game and two in another just to see how they all work.
Yeah, laser cannon be good against striders or stuff like that. Missile launcher is always good. Frag 3 with a missile launcher is fun. But indirect 4 with that mortar, that's with the range 8, so you're getting good range on that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think he was probably my most effective one. I think he was my favorite one to use. But I also like the autocannon just because it's good to have some suppression, because really nothing else on this list has any suppression.
Yeah, other than if you take this the heavy burst laser. Speaking of that, once again, we got all the different Walker weapons, pretty much the same as everybody else, especially now that you get that heavy burst laser. That because they said to add that to every list, right, with a strider. So,
right,
that's pretty fun. And then they have a new weapon class, is leader class. So we got the energy gauntlet, which is classic, officer sword, which is an AP1 weapon. Pretty good. But then they got that way to fire 1 pistol, which range 4 pistol. That's kind of fun. That new Genling 3016 Frontiersman.
Yeah, that's pretty
way
neat.
To fire 1 rapid fire. That's kind of fun.
And that's Lauren Shard's weapon, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty neat. I like using that just because it kind of follows her theme of puking bullets or lasers or whatever they do.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Yeah.
Where do you think this list falls in power ranking amongst the other factions? To me, it's got a ton of potential. I don't believe it's. I haven't played it yet, but it doesn't feel like it's weighted to one end or the other. But Tyler, what do you think?
I would agree with what you said. I think they are very reasonably priced and very reasonably effective. I think it's really neat that you can bring, you know, a ton of guys. Like, you can bring 10 veterans, a whole squad of 10 veterans for, what, 110 points, and then you still have another 90 to work with other stuff. And they're like a horde army, but they're not, because you're not charging. But they're really fun, because you get to bring so many guys, and you never get too attached to any of them. So it's...
Classic army mentality.
Yeah, it's really World War II Russian of them, because you can really pile on the guys. And I've had some of the most fun recently with Dead Zone playing these guys. I think both of my games were within 2 or 3 victory points of a win or a loss. But I really enjoy the way they play. And I think they're one of my favorites to mess around with, just because there's so many options. You can give guys thermal rifles or grenade launchers or flamethrowers or anything. Whatever your heart desires, there's a weapon that'll fill up that hole, and it's a good time, especially once you start figuring out the little combos and things that work well.
Yeah, and the only thing that might be a little powerful is that aerial deployment, but like you say, if they this little tweak here or there, and they can fix that. But generally, for version 1 of a list, this is way better than certain ones that made it into books, such as the Vermin.
Vermin.
Yeah. Because these look like a solid list. Like, it looks fun.
It is a ton of fun. If you have a chance, or if you have any, you have a million dust models, I'm sure. You could just use them, but.
Yeah. I was just going to say, we have some Infinity models, too, that we could use for this. That's it. And pretty soon we'll have Warpath, and we'll have the models. So.
Ooh, yes, fun.
We don't have to proxy anything. I suspect that within a day, maybe two, I will get that email from Rob.
Jack's wishful thinking is it's amazing.
I am an optimist. I suspect I will hear squeals of delight echoing across the fjords as you tear into that box.
Fjords. Yes, you will hear that if it eventually comes, but we'll see. But
the crinkling of plastic?
Yes, crinkle, crinkle. yeah, so that's GCPS. I think we're all pretty happy with it, and... we can't wait for the rules committee to do some more armies.
Yeah, this one definitely falls in probably like my third or fourth favorite faction to play. It's somewhere in there. So if anyone hasn't seen this list yet and wants to see it instead of just listening to us talk about it, go find it on the Mantic blog. It's on the Facebook pages too. Just the easiest way is to just search GCPS within the groups on Facebook, especially the Dead Zone Fanatics one, and it pops up right there. So. If you haven't done it yet, check it out, and you should definitely play this one.
Yes.
Try to break it too. Try to break it and then tell Arthur, because we don't want any messy scenarios coming about.
Yeah, we'd rather find out now than after it's been released. Everything should be play tested more. And I think, unlike the Veermen, where the Veermen were hard to proxy, this is easy to proxy. Like, say, any army, any military people you have can proxy for these guys.
You could even use Pathfinders if you wanted to. I mean, it would work.
Plus they have the old Warpath. I do have 10 Warpath Marines back in the day, so you got those already out there in the wild too.
Or go to the dollar store and buy some plastic army men, the little green guys. Use them. It really would work.
They're probably a little short. I don't know. I've never really put a plastic army man against a. They might not be. They might be a good size.
They might be a little bit too big, would be my guess.
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't played with a plastic army man in probably 20 years. So.
Send a picture if you do play with a plastic army man. So
that'd be cool.
Do kids even play with plastic army men anymore? Like, I'm
sure they're a choking hazard or something. Like, they probably don't even sell them anymore.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they're high on the list of, you know, you don't see a commercial with a kid's let's go outside and play with these. Do they light up? No.
Well, back when I was a kid, 3 or 4 years ago, I played with them. So.
Oh, there you go. I think you're the last generation to play with plastic army men. But that covers it. So you've got your channel going. You're going to have more bat reps coming up, and you're going to be at Adeptcon. Anything else coming up for you?
Like I said, I'm going to get, or I don't know if I said that, but I will have a crazy box, which I will be unboxing. That'll be fun. I've never done an unboxing video, but it'll be a good time. In addition to that, I would expect, hopefully, that I start doing some how to play Warpath videos again. I've really slacked on that, mostly because of school, so it's not really slacking, but...
Damn, actual life.
In the eye of the public, it's slacking. So I'll have to pick up where I left off with that. Tim will be back. We'll be able to get some more bat reps going. And I have a whole ton of painting to do, and I'm going to have way more once Warpath arrives.
That's right. It's all going to come at once. You get your crazy box and Warpath.
I'm going to be buried in plastic. I won't have to buy a miniature for years.
Yeah, you used to be rolling around in them. But yes.
Yeah, and then, Adepticon. I was going to say, hopefully I don't buy anything at Adepticon. But I will be at Adepticon 2017 if you want to see all the lovely people you're hearing right now. We will all be there, and it will be great.
Yep. And you have everything booked, all ready to go?
I do.
Excellent. Are you actually staying at the convention center, or you have a different
place? I don't think so. I think I'm at a different place. I have to check again. I booked it a little bit ago, so.
Those rooms sold out in like 15 minutes at the convention center, so it was crazy.
Well, you better hope that you're not in the same building as us, because if so, you're in a world of hurt.
That's right.
You sound like Coach. Coach wants to kick my ass in dead zone.
Well, we met in a world of hurt as you're going to be drunk the whole time.
Yeah, he's just an aggressive alpha male. We're going to get you drinking like a Canadian. Your eyes are going to be looking like two piss holes in the snow by day two.
We'll be playing games.
That's right. Yeah, you're experienced. And he's from Colorado, Jack. I'm sure he can show us a few things.
Oh, well, he can bring us a few things, too.
If you really want to. It's not my thing, but if it's yours, sure.
No, it's not ours either, actually.
Colorado hookups. It really bugs me that my state's now known for that. It used to be...
I know, it's funny.
Oh, you're from Colorado. Do you ski? And now it's like, oh, you're from Colorado. Do you smoke? And you're like, man, why does everyone...
That's funny.
No.
It's true.
My favorite reference was the avalanche, in which Rob said, do you mean the hockey team or an actual avalanche? So I don't know why he thought either of those. One seems like a reasonable thing to be interested in. The other seems very macabre.
Yeah, that hockey team is terrible. I agree. That is really macabre.
Wow.
Ouch.
Start fighting words starting around here.
Well, come on.
I'll have to wear my avalanche hoodie next time I do a video, just for fun.
There you go. Well, we have seen your Colorado Rockies. Was it Rockies? Who was it? The other one.
I have a Rockies jersey. the old 70s Rockies jersey, and then I have the... Anyways, we're going on a tangent, but I have a lot of hockey jerseys.
It's good. It's good. See, that's why we're friends, because hockey.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're an honorary Canadian.
I played too, so I'm not just blowing smoke.
Nice. Well, as you said, we're going on a tangent, so we might as well wrap it up here. Thank you, Tyler, for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's finally good to, you know, finally do this. So
yeah, it's been long overdue.
Yes.
Go play GCPS, everybody. Please go do it. It's super fun.
Yep. And until next time, I've been Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And this has been Dead Zone, the podcast.
And I've been cut off. I'm Tyler.
Aw. I'll just edit that in.
I'm fine.
No. And you will sit there in your shame. You were stepped on and you will like it.
And yeah, we'll be back again for some more Dead Zone. We're going to have the unboxing for Warpath, I'm sure, for the next episode.
Next time on the Dead Zone podcast, Warpath. It's here. It's now.
We're hoping. So everybody, have a good one, and bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions. You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now, a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
You think this is funny? Oh, you don't?
Oh.
Then maybe you'll find Vinland Old Time Radio more of your liking.
More of your liking indeed, Rob.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com. It's where the funny lives.